Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Absolutely not, in my opinion. And you read off the futures odds already out for next year. The Warriors are favored. And that's obviously with the assumption protecting themselves that KD might be there. If he happens to go to New York or the Clippers, those teams aren't automatically favored. But I would bet that the Warriors aren't the favorite to win the title anymore either.
I don't know if it'd be over if he decides to leave, because there's a lot of things can happen around the association that can put the Warriors back in a driver's seat. There's a team that you're just saying that maybe there's a guy that maybe be on the open market, not on the open market, but they're willing maybe to trade, and they're going to have a first-round pick because they didn't finish that well. LBJ, do you pick up the phone? Is that something? Did the Lakers give up a trade?
Trash.
How do you acquire LeBron James?
You're looking at saying, hey, what can we give up? Is the Dubs can say what give up some guys that we're talking about? Is it Dre? Is it a Steph? I mean, is it a Clay? I mean, there's things that this team can do. I don't think to just put them that you can say that the dynasty could be completely over. So I think that this team's still going to be able to compete. Even if KD leaves, this team will compete.
Compete, yes.
Dynasty's over.
Rain is over. The rain is over. They are the type of team that's out in the second round next year. Like, you're not right now, the expectation is titles. You don't have that expectation next year. Right now, everyone's complaining about how many minutes they have to play, how tired everybody is. What, they're not going to be more tired next year? It's just going to be another year on the legs. But they're not going to have Durant to bail them out. Right now, they have the ultimate driver. When you miss hit that thing, it only goes into the first cut. You're fine. Klay Thompson's MIA.
Yeah.
Can we say that next year, when you give him $38 million a year and you tie up that much of the cap in the Klay Thompson, that he's not going to go missing in action next year for multiple stretches? We can't guarantee that because we've seen it time and time again. Steph Curry's going to have another year on him. Are they suddenly going to start officiating him differently next year? No. They're probably going to get even more physical with him because now the Warriors are vulnerable. Who's going to be the replacement to Durant? What are you going to do about the big man? What are you going to do about the bench? Do you have a single viable player on the bench right now? Iguodala will be 36. Livingston's right. Leaving.
The bench is the big concern.
Durant's the key. You do everything you need to do to keep Kevin Durant. If you lose him, that's it. And that's okay. People have braced for that. But just understand it. You saw it last night. He is the preeminent player. He's the guy that can stop the rally. The rest of the guys aren't doing that. This is the game we've been waiting for. Nobody cares if you donk one off to Phoenix or Dallas. It happens. Nobody cares if you lose a marquee regular season game to the Rockets. It happens. This is where all those excuses go to bed. This is why everyone gives you a pass during the regular season. When Klay was slumping early in the year, it's okay, he'll be around for the playoffs. When Andre and Sean aren't playing that many minutes, it's okay, they'll be around for the playoffs. Steph isn't that hot, he's a little banged up. It's okay, come playoff time. Durant's the one that played every game but what, one? He didn't even want to take that night off. Kerr made him.
What was the biggest difference from then to now? Do you guys, is it all KD? Have this team digressed because of KD's been there, the other superstars? What has been, is it age? What? Because we know we've seen them capable, and I understand they're having a slump. I get it. You're right. When you look at Klay Thompson, you're like, wow, come on. You're going to be a max player? He's going to be a max player. We know that. But we've seen him. He's MIA. So what has happened that they didn't have KD and they still were able to win titles? Can these guys, or do you think they can play better? What is the biggest fundamental difference that you guys think because of KD's
here? One is the focus. They just lose focus. They're too busy crying about everything. This series is filled with crybabies. Everybody is crying about everything. Nobody wants to turn on the most anticipated playoff series of the entire year to watch everyone flip their arms up and yell at the official. Steph, you're not going to get the calls. We've been going over this for 5 years. Get back on D. Klay, you missed a shot. It happens. Don't shake your head. Get back on D. James Harden, good God, when you hit the deck, I mean, this isn't Saving Private Ryan. Do we need to stop the game? Draymond last night was down. They were all surrounding him like when Jackie Moon almost broke his neck against the Spurs at the end of semi-pro. You see that? I mean, I'm not saying they weren't hurt, but it's like, oh my God. the complaining about everything. Last night it was a physical game. Adjust, adapt, and survive, right? Or that's it. Die. That's how it works. You've got to make the adjustments. Stop looking to the officials to call the game the way you want. They're going to call it their way. Figure out how they're calling it and then tailor your game. The Rockets realized that last night. The Warriors are so caught up in so many things that don't involve actual stuff on the court. That's what costs them in these games. The Clippers series, we saw that on full display twice. This series, they're getting outplayed, at least in Houston. What most likely happens here is they come back for game five and they win. They go to Houston for game six and they probably lose. We get all gassed up for a game seven. They come back and they find a way to win. The real key to that is the health of Andre Iguodala. If he has a hyperextended left knee and his percentage of what he can contribute drops off significantly, I don't know if they survive the series because there's no one to fill that spot. They don't have a single bench guy you can trust right,
right
now.
And questions about his availability for game five will be answered most likely later today, because then you get into the whole question, and I know tomorrow we'll discuss it. Do you rest him for five and hope he's better for six, or do you put him out there in game five knowing that you need to win the home games in order to assure that you advance? Many questions about Andre Iguodala still lie ahead, but for right now, bottom line, the Splash Brothers have to shoot the ball better. They shot about 40% collectively yesterday.
All right, we are going to get into the health of Andre Iguodala next. That's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. A lot of you have been waiting patiently on hold. We're going to get to you as well.
The Warriors and the Rockets are all tied up.
Let's go!
We're reacting to Game 4 all day today, including Warriors legend Rick Barry with Papa and Vontae at 2:30.
If the Warriors play their best game, the Warriors will win.
Only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowandibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Greg Papa set to join us at 8:30. I can't think of any better music for Greg Papa. It just sounds big. What is this?
It's called Jungle by Busy Earning. No, Busy Earning by Jungle. My bad.
Turn the microphone off. You're confused by your own song?
Yep. Yep. That just happened.
That's what happens when royalty has another baby. Shout out Prince Harry. That's your own right there.
Do we get a name yet? Has that been announced?
It's out. I saw there's teaser headlines, and I was unwilling to give them the click in exchange for the teaser headline. So it's supposed to be a unique name. And I was about to click, but I was like, no, you're not. Clever headline. I'll hear it from someone
And
else.
That's a measurement of your interest level, ultimately.
Yes.
To know that you
it's
don't want to.
After all.
Well, plus, if you do give that click, then the computer's going to know that you're interested in that material, so it's more likely to aggregate royal related. You always have to think about the aggregation sensation.
God forbid you try to find a pair of sunglasses. They will force you. The internet will force you to buy those sunglasses or it will kill you. I will see that ad everywhere I go on every single feed. And you tell me I'm not being watched. One day I click a link. Hey, these sunglasses look nice. They're everywhere now. I can't escape these sunglasses. I'm going to buy them. Hopefully just to shut off the ads.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make the announcement. I'm going to send out an email to just the internet and say, you know, I bought them. You can cease and desist now.
Yes. Hotel tonight. I already went to San Diego. My kid's going to Cal, so we won't be going to San Diego. You can go ahead and slow play your, hey, don't miss the Ramada and whatever. God.
I get it.
Coach, I'll go next December in a VRBO. In the meantime, leave me the blank alone.
I bought some vitamins, and oh my God, these ads. I'm like, dude, I bought them one time.
Right. I'm
what
good.
What are you freaking doing? Yeah. And now people, and then it's even people, como esta, senor? Like, I'm, and then they start trying to offer me Mexican Viagra.
Oh, wow.
All the crazies. I'm like, dude, I got it one time. What are you guys doing?
So, yeah. Vitamins,
so,
huh?
Yeah, well, the super vitamins, Superman pills. And it just constantly just starts. I'm like, dude, okay, I'm good. And you press X, please stop calling me.
Wow.
It's become so crazy. It's interesting.
My damn father-in-law,
yeah,
when he was here, I had some stuff going on with work.
I got you.
And he was like, you know, you really got to register the website of your own name, like joefortenball.com. You got to do that so that someone else doesn't do it. So in case you become popular, I mean, it's like, Marty, I'm already being listened to by
billions. Hello.
Not really much else
come
out
on
there. We haven't officially discovered alien life yet. I don't know who you think you're talking to, but He was like, no, you got to register the site. So I was like, all right, fine, fine. So he takes me through it. I register.
Yeah.
Suddenly my phone ends up on some list. I'm getting Chinese calls
wow.
10 times a day. And I'll show you. I'll just set the phone out. I'll get called. I got a call from my own damn number once. My own cell phone number showed up as the call I was getting. Now explain to me that. I pick
oh, that
it up.
Weird.
A whole bunch of Chinese talk. I have no idea what's being discussed, how I'm getting these Chinese phone calls multiple times a day every day. I'm thinking about changing the number. I'm thinking about giving up the cell phone. Do I need it that bad? I'm not trying to go to China. Nothing against China. No, it's just, you know, like Hosemore said, come on in.
Yeah.
They got my number.
They do. They do. Next stop, they're going to maybe probably be in your apartment. So maybe they actually have the same number because there's not enough numbers to go around for everyone. So maybe it's just somebody who happens to have your number calling you.
Yeah, it's just
it's like a Black Mirror episode.
Wonderful
exactly
situation to be
thinking.
In. Calling myself, but it's my Chinese self trying to sell me something every day. Newsflash, Chinese self. I don't speak Chinese.
Yeah, that's why I don't need Alexa. Not leave that stuff alone.
That's not coming into the household. I made that very clear.
Good job. Good job.
I'm with you.
Well, let me tell you, China's coming.
Yeah, he's right. You see him on TV yesterday for Giants pre and post, by the way? All slick hair. He shows them a little bit of respect. Cosmore cleaning himself up when he
listening.
Goes on TV.
He's listening right
he's
now.
He's got himself a funeral take coming next time he's on the show because he was saying
Brooms.
It's a sweep. Yeah, but get out the Roomba. He called it a Roomba series. Well, that was you saying Roomba, but he was saying sweep. So, Cozy, come on back. We got a little something for you.
Suck on that.
Papa at 8:30. I'm going to ask this question, then we're going to turn it over to the people. Do you see this series going seven games, yes or no?
Yes.
You're
yes,
at seven
I do.
Now. Lo, where are you at?
No. I'm
who wins in, I guess, six is now the prediction because it's mathematical
six.
Here
the
at
Warriors,
this point.
The Warriors win this. They win this week, and then they got to find a way to win on the road. You just for your mental cycle, you got to finish this thing. I'm still saying six.
All right. Warriors in six, so they win the next two. Where are you at?
I'm saying Warriors in six, but I'm not very comfortable with it.
Then, all right.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's not a prison. Yeah. It's not a prison take. It's just trying to get an assessment of where we're
not
all
confident.
At right now.
Where are you at right now,
six.
Coach? After
it's got to be seven.
You're at seven now.
Got to be seven after I came off yesterday's best bet of the year. Watch that money just dwindle down the toilet. Hey, are you coming to bed? No, I'm not coming to bed. I'm angry. I'm going to finish off this bottle of wine. It's a shout out to Houston. It really is.
Yeah.
That's not the Clipper game where they just donked it off. The Rockets are playing better. The Rockets are playing more physical. They're taking advantage of their opportunities. Their bench is showing up in bigger spots. Austin Rivers apparently can't miss. Apparently he can't miss. Glenn Rivers, his father, in attendance last night.
Oh, Glenn.
Did you hear the idiot, too, by the way, chanting New York Knicks
so
the whole
great.
Time last night?
Awesome.
Sit down. The
great.
Knicks aren't playing, in case you didn't notice.
Great use of courtside mics. Wherever he was near a courtside mic. My wife was cracking up because they kept doing it over and over. Just when he get quiet, New York Knicks, every time KD would come by. It's hilarious. I don't know if it affected him or not, but I thought it was pretty funny.
Isn't it bizarre, James Harden, KD on the same team, and they couldn't win a title? When you watch
and Russell Westbrook, coach!
I'm watching this guy.
Buddy!
Three MVPs.
I'm watching these two play, and you watch Harden. He's friggin' unbelievable. He can fake better than anyone. He jumps up and he creates the foul because they are fouling him. It's just amazing when you see, you're like, how the hell did you guys not win a title?
That's not what's amazing. What's amazing is that you had Westbrook, Durant, and Harden, and you chose to keep one, and you literally had a 66% chance of getting one of the right ones, and you picked the worst option of the three. Like, you should simultaneously win GM of the year and then be fired right after that.
You picked the worst out of the three.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, so what do we want to do? We've got Durant, we've got Westbrook and Harden. Got to figure something out. Can we keep two? Can we only keep one? I think we can only keep one. It's got to be Westbrook. I love triple doubles. Forget about the freak seven-footer
wow.
who doesn't miss. That's not going to work. And the guy with the beard, he seems to score a lot of points in limited minutes off the bench. He's
off the
probably
bench,
not going to work.
Coach.
We'll just go ahead with the emotionally unstable triple-double machine.
Yeah, the upside there.
Wow.
He was an unguardable blur.
Threes.
Yeah,
in an era that shoots threes.
You figured you'd get rid of Harden and that KD and Westbrook would have gotten along and would have been your forevermore Batman and Robin, but turns out that didn't work out.
If you could go back in time, like, what are you doing? Is Sam Presti, right? Is that the GM that was there that pulled all that off?
My God. Wow. Out of the three, you picked the worst.
It's just the way the contracts came up.
No,
James came up first. You had
still
to make that decision. You made the wrong one, and then the thing dissolved. You probably made the right one. Katie, you didn't let him go. He ran from you into free agency. But ultimately, your Oklahoma City window is not going to be open that much longer either. It's trouble. It's trouble.
We're going with Westbrook. Everyone on board? Westbrook's the pick? All right, Westbrook's the guy. Let the rest of them go.
Wow.
Meanwhile, later, the other two are just racking up.
My God.
MVP awards. Durant's got two chips. Harden, who knows? Maybe he gets one. If he doesn't, it's not as if you necessarily pin him on that.
No.
Right.
He's playing great. I mean, that's look, they're being physical. He's doing what he needs to do. It's a superstar matchup between him and Durant. They are canceling each other out. So it's really just about who wants it more from the rest. And right now, you got some guys who, you know, I'm not making some shots. I'm going to try to shoot my way out of it. And then you got these guys from Houston who just, this is what happens. They have nothing to lose. You have everything to lose. This, to you, is just another team, another notch in the bedpost, as they would say. It's the fifth year, and it's, oh, okay, it's New Orleans, and now it's Portland, and now it's San Antonio, and it's Houston, and it's Cleveland, and it's OKC, and it's Cleveland, and it's just another team. To them, this is everything. This is everything. Chris Paul's going to try to take Andre Iguodala's knee out because he needs to try to take Andre Iguodala's knee out. He's got nothing to lose. He's near the end of his career, and he doesn't want to lose to these guys again. You have to remember, show some empathy. Not sympathy, but empathy. Put yourself in their shoes last year. 3-2 series lead, and they blew it. But they blew it because they lost a guy who was playing awesome basketball. You don't think those guys come back the next year so hungry, so willing to do just about anything to beat you, that they'll cross the boundary, they'll cross the threshold of what's right on a court, what's acceptable on a court, what's legal on a court. Because they're trying to win. That's the only thing that matters to them. To you guys, it's like, all right, we want to win, but, you know, we got to get guys involved. Then we got this next series, and what are we going to do about free agency? Too many questions, too many issues, too many details. Houston doesn't have to worry about that. Who's a free agent for Houston next year? Nobody knows because nobody cares. They're not talking about it.
Right.
The focal point is beating Golden State. When someone that has talent has that much of a fixation on you, it can become very, very dangerous.
And it's especially problematic now for the Warriors because they don't necessarily have an adjustment. What we've seen over this dynastic run is there was always that sense of, well, the Hamptons five, he hasn't really unleashed the Hamptons five.
Right,
maybe they
right.
could end up starting him, but they've made that play now. Steve Kerr has made it clear that that's his starting five, pending Andre Iguodala's health. So Houston counteracts with their small lineup. And now what you're seeing is Houston able to compete and actually do better than the Warriors. The biggest edge has been this Hamptons five, their smaller lineup. So now what does Steve Kerr and company do as far as making adjustments? Is there an adjustment they can make before game five that will counteract what Houston's done?
That's absolutely a great point, Dibs. When you think about the Hamptons five, people are wearing shirts, the Hampton five. It's like play the Superman music. Because here there comes Hampton five.
And once they come, it's over.
It's over. But now you're looking like, wow, every beef that ever was partly Sting and partly Buzz. And right now it's just Buzz and everyone else in the Rockets right now has the Hampton five's number.
Is where home court is going to be the difference. Like we talked about, you asked me my prediction, 7. I think the home team wins every single game. That's what it looks like right now. It looks like these teams are really thriving on the comfort level of playing at home. They're thriving on the fan base. That seems to be the difference, and it's going to end up paying dividends that you did what you needed to do to get that number one seed in the West. We can't even look ahead to the next series. Can't look ahead to the Eastern Conference. You really have to focus on what's in front of you. You're a 5.5-point favorite for Wednesday night, and the key comes down to Andre Iguodala's health because he said he hyperextended the left knee late in the game. Chris Paul comes underneath him when he's going up to rebound the free throw. Dirty or not, we'll leave it up to you. But again, reputation. If it's Harden, Harden's not really seen as a dirty player. Harden's got his own little techniques for what he does on offense, the push-off and all that. He's not necessarily a dirty guy. Paul, Draymond Green, they kind of have a stigma that follows them around. You look at Paul last night, it's tough not to think. You weren't playing for that rebound. You were playing to get underneath another player. Why? Why would you do something like that? Who knows? But if he can't go, what's the counter? What's the answer? Because we're at a point with the Warriors last night where the second Kerr goes to a substitution, you're thinking, well, how can they stop the bleeding? You still got Durant and Steph out there. But how do you stop the bleeding? You know, here comes insert Jordan Bell for 7 seconds and watch Harden get a free look to the rack. That was the difference late in the game. If Draymond doesn't miss the layup late and Harden doesn't get the freebie, the Warriors win.
Yes, it's a hold-your-breath moment, Coach, when they go to the bench, no matter who it is, and if it's Yurebko, and even if it's Andrew Bogut in Game 5, you're still going to hold your breath a little bit. The one thing that might be a saving grace is knowing that from a geographical standpoint, from a body of water standpoint, Klay Thompson gets a big upgrade from the Gulf of Mexico back to the Pacific Ocean. I would anticipate if you're out near the Pacific today, maybe early tomorrow, keep an eye out for a 6'6" two guard, because I bet you Klay Thompson goes back to the ocean to try to find some of that ocean mojo, because he needs it.
This is almost one of those things where, like, as a show, you almost have to lead the charge yourself. You almost have to put it out to the people and say, we should all go to the beach and jump in the ocean before that game. After all, you don't want to bring it up, but what did you bring up this morning about tomorrow night's game?
It could be the last game ever at Oracle Arena. And when you think about the great years, the great history, this is not the way it's supposed to end. It's supposed to end with blue and yellow confetti falling on a glorious celebrating Steph Curry and company. It's not supposed to end in the conference semis with a Game 5 loss to Houston, and then you go to Texas and what? You get eliminated? You get motorboated by 37 or something? This is not the way this is supposed to end, Coach.
Might call for a group effort. We got to put it out to the billions. Yeah. Maybe go to the beach and jump in the damn ocean. I don't know. I'm willing to do anything at this point to keep this thing going. What are we going to do? Talk about baseball?
Man.
Although Pablo yesterday, great inning pitched, home run, steal. He's like one of only two players in MLB history to put up that stat line. The last was in 1905.
Oh, wow.
Also a Giant. Versus the Reds.
Yeah, Babe Ruth never was able to nab a bag, even in his days of pitching, so he was not a part of that illustrious group.
The Greg Popper Report is brought to you by Gelati Construction Company, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. The great Greg Papa with us on 95.7 The Game. Pop, we'll jump right into it here. The hyperextended left knee of Andre Iguodala, how serious do you think that's going to be?
Hyperextensions are not good. The knee bends the other direction. It's the same knee that he suffered the spider fracture on at the end of Game 3, which flipped last year's conference finals. So it's a concern. The Warriors did not fly last night. They're still in Houston. They're not leaving until 2 o'clock Houston time, noon our time. So he's getting treatment, I'm sure, right now. It's bad. And he's not I'm not going to see. No, it's not like he can't play, but they're having a hard time guarding James Harden. I think the biggest key with this series flipping, going to Houston, is Mike D'Antoni going small, which I knew he would do. And by going small, you don't have Capella on the floor as a ball screener, and they're not screening for him. I mean, their offense, when you think of them, it's a high pick and roll and a switch, and they're not doing that. And they didn't do it even when Capella was in the game as much, because Draymond's guarding Capella. So they don't want Draymond around Harden. So they're just going to straight ice. He's just taking it. And Capella was in the dunker position when he was playing, but they're going small. They're playing four guards, and they're spreading it out in P.J. Tucker. And the Warriors cannot stop the dribble penetration of James Harden at all. Zero. And they have great perimeter defenders. And Andre and Clay, Draymond, when he gets switched on him, I think actually Durant does the best job with his length. So they got an issue here. And I don't know what they, the way Utah guarded him was really interesting to me. We saw it with Milwaukee back in March, where they really didn't guard his dribble penetration. They just let him go, and they met him at the rim. But Utah has Rudy Gobert, who's one of the great shot blockers. You could get Bogut into the series a little bit to start and match up with Capella. I think you need Bogut's physicality to start knocking some of these guys down and play as tough as P.J. Tucker's playing. But, Andre needs to be healthy, but he's not guarding as well. I mean, the first two games of the series, my main takeaway is the artistic way Andre Iguodala slides his feet and manipulates his arms and just guides hard and gently, and there's a help defender there because there was a ball screener there. They're not doing that, and he's getting blown by over and over and over again, and Clay's not guarding him either. So if Andre can't play, you got a problem, because you got one less perimeter defender to put on him. And right now, none of your perimeter defenders are stopping him at all.
What about the idea of Klay Thompson, Pop? Is he being run around so much defensively, having to guard both Harden and Gordon, that it's affecting his offensive efficiency?
That's his game, Dibs. That's what he's done his whole career here, basically since they put him on Tony Parker early in his career and put him on the ball. That's what Clay does. He guards the ball. He's not guarding well at all. Zero. Just no resistance. They are not stopping Harden. So I don't know what the answer is here, to be honest with you, because you just don't have enough able bodies and you're very light. They could be fatigued. I think Clay is tired, to your point. He's the one guy who never gets tired. But he's just, making shots with me, to him, for him with me is, yeah, he's a great shooter. but it's his frontline defense. They're just not guarding at all. I mean, that's the breakdown here is Houston is scoring too readily. 100, 109 in game two. They only had 90 with 4 minutes to go in game two. They got to 109. It was kind of garbage time. The Warriors lost focus. But the two games at Houston, they had 112 in regulation before the overtime, and then they got to 126 on Saturday, and last night 112 again. The Warriors can't allow them to do that because they're going to gridlock the game on the other end. The Warriors aren't going to score in the 120s against this team because they're not passing the ball. You're not going to get the number of possessions. So, he's tired, and partly because you don't have any bench. You don't count on any of these guys. Looney's playing awful. Another guy who guarded Harden well and Paul when he switched onto their guards. They had a whole stable of perimeter defenders that could stop dribble penetration. None of them can do it right now, and you just don't have any other bodies here. So, Durant may be your best option if they're not going to switch and put him on him. But, Clay is showing signs of fatigue. But I think Harden has just gotten so difficult to deal with his stutter and stop. And he's like a great NFL running back with his body shift left and right. He's Euro-stepping, not just at the rim. He's Euro-stepping out at 30 feet. And now he's making that step back daddy at a high enough percentage that he can squeeze that off on you as well. So right now he is a really hard cover. They got to figure out a way to do this. I think you don't want to double him right away, but I think when the shot clock starts to get down, you need to bring a second defender over and just go get him. And then you're going to give up open threes. They did that in Game 3 on Saturday when they came and got him at midcourt, and Shumpert got an open three. But right now he is just dissecting you, and he's also not just pitching to shooters. He's breaking down your defense where you're rotating to come up to stop him, and that's allowing P.J. Tucker a wide-open avenue to just pound you on their offensive boards.
No question. He's doing that. Pop, so you can't do anything about it. So if you are going to try to make any changes or if you are going to try to give guys more minutes, McKinney had 11 last night. Livingston had 14. Bogut had none, was DNP. So out of those three guys, if you were looking for a guy to step up and try to play, which one of those guys did you say you're going to have to rely on?
Bogut. I mean, McKinney, the moment looks too big for him. Sean Livingston is growing old right before our eyes. Jordan Bell, we talked on the radio yesterday. I thought maybe Jordan Bell because of his ability to move his feet. And he did guard their guards very well last year in the Western Finals. But they bring him in at the end of a quarter, and he allows a backdoor cut for a layup.
My God.
My Lord. I mean, that is, you're going to get one shot here to play, and you can't do that. And that is just inexcusable, just lack of detail to let I think it was Harden who went backdoor on him. Just how does that happen? So you just can't trust him. So none of these, Bogut would be the only guy, and you could match him when Capella's on the floor. The thing is, Lo, they're starting big, and then they're going small. So it's a little bit of a changeup. The Warriors start small, and they stay small. They don't get big. They get a little mid-sized when Looney's in the game, but he's not really a big, and he gets overpowered inside. He's not very athletic. So if Andre can't go, then I would vote for starting Bogut and matching him up with Capella. You could even make the point, maybe, bring Andre off the bench. You don't want to overreact here, but there is an adjustment required here. You could start Bogut, and I think they need Bogut's physicality and nastiness to knock some of these guys down and just lay it out. And you don't want to foul him, obviously, but Bogut's not going to play a lot of minutes. You don't have to worry about him fouling out. You need toughness. You need to rock them. Bogut will do that, and he will match up with Capella. But the problem is, if you play Bogut, then they're going to bring the ball screen back. And now he's going to be guarding Capella, and they're going to force Bogut to switch on to Harden, which you can't do. So you can't do a lot of it, but it all depends on where Andre's at. How many minutes can Andre give you? I mean, my main concern throughout this series is Andre's playing. The other night in the overtime game, he played over 40 minutes. He played 40 minutes and 43 seconds. Just felt like that was a ticking time bomb to get him hurt, and then it happens at the very end of the game when Harden misses that free throw, and you get the rebound, and it sets up the last shot. But I think you could get Andrew Bogut going a little bit here, but other than him, There's not a lot of guys on this bench you trust right now.
Greg Papa with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coming into the playoffs, I was very confident this team would make its way through the postseason and win another championship. I'm still confident of that. But this series, at least these last two games, are showing that the second you go to the bench, this team is a lot thinner than I originally believed. So let's assume that they find a way to survive this series and they advance. Is your confidence level in them as strong as it was prior to these last two games?
I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win this series, and I think they're going to win this championship. But the issue would be if you suffer an injury. I mean, the data shows. That's why they don't allow NFL games to go deep into overtime. The data shows when you play athletes beyond what their norm is, they're more susceptible to injury. And you're just playing these guys a lot of minutes. Durant's got a bad elbow. You know, he hurt it on Saturday night, and he hit it again on Harden's head. And it's bothering him. And he's gone down hard three times.
They're beating him up?
Well, of course they are. Look at him. He's tall and lanky, and they're just pounding him. You know, Draymond was saying at the podium last night, without using the four-letter S word, soft, but that's what he was. I thought he was going to say the word, but he didn't say it. But there was a shot of him, you know, airing out the bench. He was going, you know, typical Draymond, just going wild on the bench. Durant wasn't even listening to him. Iguodala was sitting several seats away from him. But I'm sure he was not holding back on his teammates where he was at the podium. But I'm sure he was calling him soft. And he basically said, I'll take care of that department. So Draymond's going to bring it. You know, you can put Draymond on James Harden and just let him get after him and turn him, pick him up in the backcourt. You got to speed Houston up a little bit here. You got to make them play faster. They're dictating the tempo of the game. And you got to get them out of their norm however you can. But the bench is thin, Joe. I mean, I knew it all year long. The three wise men who they used to have off the bench, Andre, Sean, and David West, Sean is not the same player anymore. You just cannot trust him. He makes silly errors. How many times is he going to foul a three-point shooter? He's been doing it habitually in the playoffs. He did it to Shamet. He did it again last night. He just doesn't have control of his body like he used to. And West is retired, and Andre's starting. So you've got nothing you can count on off the bench. You can't count on any of them. Looney, I think just because they've seen Looney in so many isolation situations, they figured out how to dribble drive on him. He's no longer a factor. So, we'll see. And if Denver does win, you're going to have to deal with the altitude going there, which is not going to make it any easier. But let's just get through this series now because you're kind of at the crossroads, kind of back where you were. You know, Houston's organizational motto this year is run it back. Well, here we go again. We're back.
And they outscored you by 27, Pop, from the three-point line. That's got to change in Game 5. And for me, a lot of that is Klay Thompson. How do you get him to find his offensive mojo and get back to being an aggressive player?
Ball movement, but they don't do it. They're just not passing the ball. I think the first three games it was 265, 281. 300 on Saturday, but the game went to overtime, so that got a little bit higher. I mean, Houston does this to you. They did it to the Warriors last year, and last night I just got the text from the Warriors. It was 260 passes. In the regular season, the Warriors average, 325, 330? So they're just not moving the ball. You're not changing sides. You're not breaking them down. So the very reason I think Houston is somewhat easy to guard, although you got to stop Harden's dribble penetration, and they're not doing that, but they don't change sides. You can load up on them. You can say the same for the Warriors. They're just not moving the ball. And the guy who suffers the by far the most, he's a catch-and-shoot guy, and one of the best ever, is Klay. And if you're not making the extra pass, and he's also hunting shots, you know, he's forcing some. He's just not playing well. You know, everybody was on Steph Saturday night. I thought Klay played worse, and it was defensively. He's not guarding Paul. He's not guarding Harden. So, we'll see if they get home and, they kind of, I don't want to say they like this, but they respond when the degree of difficulty is heightened. This team has really not been beat. They have not been beaten. The one time they lost because James teabagged Draymond and flipped that whole series. No one, in my opinion, has beaten them. So let's see. You got to beat them. They like to make it hard on themselves, and they obviously made it harder on themselves, but they're fully capable of getting through this.
Pop, that's still one of my favorite memories in the history of radio, is being on the radio with you that next day after 3 points of contact, and he teabagged him, and one of the great rants in radio history.
Well, is it not obvious? I sat right there, and I saw what he was doing, and I applauded him. I thought Draymond didn't take the bait, but it flipped a series. It cost you a championship. I mean, that's probably the greatest single act of LeBron James's career. The great teabagger that he is.
Bob, that's friggin', that's great how you break down the teabag. I loved using that line. When you think about what KD's been able to do, and everyone's talked about why he came here and he couldn't win a championship on his own, could this be his finest hour? If they are to win, could he quiet that because of the way he's playing and the way the lack of Steph and Clay, like you alluded to, is not playing well? If he were to win a title, could this be godly? KD pretty much did it his own.
Well, Kevin Durant is one of the most special scorers I've ever seen. Michael's on a whole different level. But after Michael, I think his pure scoring ability, he's the best I've ever seen. I think he's better than Kobe. That scoop layup he made last night, the finger roll layup, was so George Gervin-like. That may have been the most difficult play I've ever seen him make. And you're talking about a guy who's 7 feet tall, beating someone off the dribble, off balance, in the lane, could not have any control over his body, finger roll that ball in. He is just an amazing scorer. But he has got to play tougher. He is not rebounding. P.J. Tucker is beating him up. And he's not blocking off P.J. Tucker. The Warriors are taking P.J. Tucker's three ball away from the corner. He made three last night. But what he's getting is a running start from that 22-foot line, and he's going right through Durant. Durant has got to get on him. So that's part of why I'm thinking, you know, get Durant onto Harden, because I think he covers him as well or maybe better than people right now because of his length. Although he is top-heavy and Harden can drive him, you don't want to get him into foul trouble. But the other side of it, I want Durant to block. When Durant's at his best, he is ferocious, blocking shots, left-handed, right-handed, and he's a great defensive rebounder. He is getting his back caved in on that end of the floor. So he's a great scorer, but he's got to play tougher. And this is what Draymond's talking about. The problem is KD is high cut, and you can topple him. And he does it playing with a bad elbow. And so that may be a little bit of a factor. He's scoring great, but he needs to play tougher. He needs to block shots. He needs to be a rim protector, and he needs to defensive rebound much better.
Join him today, noon to 3 p.m. alongside Bonte Hill. They'll talk with Mark Spears at 1:30 and Rick Barry at 2:30. Greg Papa with us here on 95.7 The Game. Pop, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you very much for jumping on the show.
I think I'm going to go have a cup of tea. Have a nice morning, guys.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 thinks we're pandering. Oh, ha, ha, Pop says something and you all start laughing. When will teabagging not be funny?
Especially, when he describes it so eloquently as he did that next day. And it's something that we've taken on, and Lo pointed it out. It's something that we on the show have taken and exalted that moment, the teabagging, and really his description of it. So it's not pandering. We're just laughing.
I'm not interested in living in America where I can't laugh at that joke. That was some of the best radio I ever heard. I was in the car, and I remember exactly the intersection in the city I was at. It was 4th and King. I was at 4th and King trying to get home when you and Pop were on the air that day.
Yep.
Day after they had lost Game 7, and he was on a 27-minute monologue. You peppered in there here and there with
sure.
a comment. And he just slowly but surely worked himself into more of a frenzy. And he got to that point. And that was the tipping point, as Malcolm Gladwell would say. That sent him over the edge, and he went from analyst to, like, angry radio host / fan. And it was awesome to listen to.
Yeah.
Both of you guys were great that day.
Thank you, John. Word for word, I believe it was my finest hour, as I like to borrow from Lowe.
Like Jordan Bell, you didn't really get a minute, but you did show up in the box score.
I'd like to think I was more like Quinn Cook, 4 seconds with a plus +3, as opposed to Jordan Bell, 7 seconds and a minus -2. But I digest. It all culminated when he screamed out, "He teabagged him!" Because it finally dawned on him what had happened, and that's why the whole idea of the teabagging we think is so funny. So, Texter, it's not pandering. It's us just reliving one of the great moments in 95.7 The Game history.
You brought up an excellent point. I'm sorry if you haven't, play it.
Because James teabagged Draymond.
That was from our interview.
Yeah. Years later, he's calmed down a little bit, but the facts still exist.
The Rushmore of Papa Dibley shows. I've only got two. That and you guys interviewing Burns from Tahoe, talking about Tahoe. Opening 20 minutes, no baseball whatsoever.
There's waves, huge-ass waves hitting you in the face. Yes. Boom.
I remember thinking to myself, how are they getting away with this? We're 17 minutes into this interview. They're talking about Burns's ISDN line?
You couldn't turn it off.
At his Tahoe house.
It was so good, you couldn't turn it off.
He's in Tahoe right now.
It's incredible.
It's great. It's great. I was just looking for that very drop. Some of my best stuff, Joe. That's ultimately what got me promoted to this morning show. My ability to roll with such great bits as Dibsy's in Tahoe.
Dibs, he's in Tahoe right now.
He was losing his mind. Like, man, you sound great. Oh, I got this. I got this ISDN line at my house in Tahoe. I'm up here right now. 20 minutes of just Tahoe and the snow and the house.
That guy maybe has the best life ever.
Who's that?
Guinness Book of World Record holder Eric Burns.
He works really hard.
I'm not saying he doesn't.
You want to go run 100 miles in a day?
I'm good. I've done 50, and that was plenty.
I don't want to drive 100 miles in a day.
Yeah, I ran 50 miles in a day, and it was by far the hardest thing I've ever done, and he's done it so many times. He probably doesn't even know how many times he's run 100 miles.
How many holes of golf did he play for the world record?
420.
Damn, Burns.
And he covered 100 miles in 24 hours while playing golf. He's a nutcase.
That dude lives life.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he does. He goes out and he lives life. I want to go right back to one thing you asked, Papa. Durant's legacy. We have a good habit on this show of discussing the negative when it needs to be addressed and discussing the positive when it needs to be addressed. The key to this show is the ability to flip it, to take a negative like last night, which is a bad basketball game, a bad loss, and turn it into something positive. If, for example, KD continues to play at the rate he's playing, which is very good. Let's be honest. 35.4 points per game through his first 10 playoff games. Last time that happened, 1992, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. That's pretty good company to be in. You notice Kobe's name isn't on that list, or Shaq, or Harden, or Russ, or Duncan, or LeBron, or anybody else. 35.4 a game through his first 10, first since Michael Jeffrey Jordan, 1992. He continues at this rate. Steph, hit or miss night to night. Klay continues to struggle. The bench continues to be unreliable. Somehow, some way, Durant gets this team through this series, gets him through the next one, wins the title. What does that do for his legacy?
I think it's unbelievable.
Does it change things?
To me, it changes things 1,000%. You look at what has occurred since he's been here. They said he came and joined a super team. They already said this team was already great. He couldn't win one, so he had to come join them. This year, especially during the playoffs, there has been guys like you just alluded to, Steph and Klay, the other superstars, they've been hot and cold. They've been that driver, Joe, that you said, that's got to be perfect. And Durant has been that one that's consistent. You see what he's been able to do and how he's been able to dominate. I think without a doubt, the narrative can't be that old Durant had to come here. I think this year, if they were to win a title, I think that you would have to change the way that you view Durant.
So they win one without him, then they lose, then they bring him in, they all win together,
right.
They all win together, then whether it's on his way out the door or not, he carries them to the final one. Three in a row, 4 and 5.
I was just thinking,
maybe carry's a strong word, but
no, I was thinking he wins one without Steph and Klay is the narrative, you know? Because the way Klay Thompson is playing, and you know, you look at 5 of 15 for the floor, minus 12. I've been looking a lot at these game efficiency ratings on Basketball Reference, Lowe, because it gives you a good idea in general what his productivity was. Klay Thompson has only had 4 worse games this year than what he performed last night. Of those 4 games that have been worse by Klay Thompson, Golden State's lost 3 of them. So that just shows you how important Klay Thompson is to not necessarily play great, but just play mediocre. Play an okay game where you defend and you contribute. He was a non-existent factor in last night's game, so it is too much to say KD would win this, quote, without Steph and Klay, but certainly the way Klay's been playing, he's not playing like an all-star.
You'd be giving him more credit than he normally gets, right? Like, if this would play out this way, you'd have to sit there and say, without Durant, unequivocally, they do not win. In the past, it's, well, they still could have.
Right.
They're still loaded, and we get that, and, you know, you can go both ways. But this year, you're not getting through this series without him.
You're
absolutely not getting through this series without him.
Are you getting through the Clippers without him? I mean, think about what he's been able. I'm just saying, I think it changed.
I played the fifth. I choose not to answer that
question. I get it. I get it.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to choose not to answer.
But that's why I love these fans, because they're so fickle. Oh, that's ignorant. He had a great. Yeah. Oh, Clay, Steph had a good game. So now you're saying, oh, what are you talking about, Love? Come on. If you look at the consistency in which he's done it, I think that people have to look at this and say, wow, KD really did. In the time where our stars struggled, other guys didn't shine as bright. He really did put this team on his back because he's doing that.
Another interesting note from last night, indirectly, I don't know what his plans are, but you know he's been linked to Kyrie Irving quite a bit. I don't know if you want to team up with that guy. Do you want that guy on your squad? I mean, maybe for a year it works nice. He went 7 of 22 last night. They booed his ass off the court. Like, Boston cannot get him out of there fast enough. Jalen Rose said this morning his teammates will pack his things for him to get him out of there. That nobody in Boston, the team, the coaching staff, the fans, the players, nobody wants that dude around. They just want him gone. And this is what happens. You didn't like the idea of having to be second fiddle to LeBron, so you got yourself out of there. You got your own team. Now you don't like your own team. Let's be honest. You had good talent around you, good coach. Situation was nice. Not saying you had to win a title, but the situation was nice, and you didn't do a whole lot with it.
Better talent than you had when you were with the Cavs.
And better talent with the Lakers. Better talent than almost any other team. You could say they have better talent even than Milwaukee, but Milwaukee's got the difference maker. They play together. They play hard. We were talking about this off air, the way Milwaukee systematically took the life out of Boston last night.
Oh.
They took Boston's lunch money, and then they sat down, and then they ate their lunch in front of Boston.
In their building.
They made Boston sit there and watch them as Giannis went in there and snatched their bologna sandwich and ate it right in front of them.
Middleton chicken. Was nasty, too,
it
last
It is
night.
Over, Coach.
I mean, Milwaukee, they lost that game. Wow, Brad Stevens, what a coaching expo. Boston's back. Milwaukee just had a bad game. That's really all that was. Milwaukee played a bad game. They made some adjustments, and they have thrown three big punches in succession.
Big boy blows.
They're not jabbing their way through this series. They are throwing big punches. Durant versus Giannis is the matchup we need. We need that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, gotta get there.
We can talk more about that. Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback. He's on the Rockets radio station in Houston. He's going to join us at 9:30. Your call. Some of you guys have been really patient. Your calls are coming up next. Give the people what they want. Joe Lowe and Dibs, back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.